Maybe we'll be doing it. Well, there we go. All kinds of bad ways.
Somebody.
That was not the smartest idea.
Oh no.
Let me continue my dancing.
That cowboy hat's a little too tight on his head or something.
Good morning, good morning. I'm so happy to see you all awake. Are we awake? I'm not dreaming. I am awake. I think I'm awake. You know, I would turn this music off, but I can't find the button. Good morning. We sound a little more lively than we did yesterday. I'll give us that much.
We are a little more lively. We got our boots on. We're already looking for our waiters today.
These boots are made for walking.
This crap is getting thick today.
I don't know. I'm not understanding some of you out there. You know what? I think this requires a how-to book for internet communications. I'm going to say this much to you all out there, especially at the start of your day or you're halfway through your day, when you're reading your emails from your boss, from your friends, always remember 90% of all text-only communications is perceived as negative. So be careful what you write. And when you're reading a response from someone, please try to smile when doing so. It will change your perception of the words you're reading. Okay? Let me just say that, and then we're going to move on to the news. Holla!
the news. Oh, good God, girl, there's some news today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we talked yesterday about the PSN network being down, right?
Is it still down? Because I can't watch my movies and I'm not happy.
It's still down and it is bad. It is real bad. It is real bad. I mean, I'm talking, if any of y'all have used it, you may want to start checking your credit. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Reports PSN taken down because of credit card scam.
Yeah.
A speculative VentureBeat report suggests that Sony took down the PlayStation Network completely to avoid a new program that lets hackers use a credit card number to download software. All right, so this may not be bad. So may not be so bad for y'all. Even if the credit card number was fake, they're still able to download software. The report points to a post on Reddit from a user named Chesh420, who is also a moderator at PS3 hacking site PSX Scene. The lengthy Reddit post contends that Sony took down the PlayStation Network because of a new custom firmware called Rebug, which basically turns a consumer PS3 into a limited developer PS3.
Hot.
This gives a user access to the private developer section of the PlayStation Network. All right, so what exactly does this post say? I'll read it to y'all. So sit down, it may take me a little bit. Okay, I've seen a bunch of speculation of why people think PSN is down, and I thought I should just post what the community knows in comparison to what Sony is telling everyone. The truth is, there was a new CFW custom firmware released known as Rebug. It essentially turns a retail console into a dev console. Not fully, but gives you a lot of the same options that usually devs only have access to.
Well, which means a lot of cheating, possibly. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Anyways, this new CFW was quickly figured out to give CFW users to the PSN network, again via the dev networks. With a little manipulation of the URLs through a proxy server, you could get your hacked console back online. Not that big of a deal, right?
Yeah, that's a big deal. Hey.
Well, it also turns out that some people over at NGU found out that you could provide a fake credit card number info, and the authenticity of the information was never checked, as you were on the Sony's private developer PSN network.
Oh.
Yeah. What happened next was extreme piracy of PSN content. Sony, realizing the issue here, shut down the network. Now, before you go freaking out about the latest information posted about Kotaku, no one's personal information was accessible via this hack. Not to say they couldn't get it, but no one is admitting to it being available. Anyways, that's the real reason for the PSN downtime. Sony is now rebuilding all of its PSN servers to be more secure and hopefully make sure the CFW users cannot get online anymore.
Oh, some of you are in trouble.
The guy goes on to say that, of course, you know, those are the people saying this is speculation are correct, but it's speculation based on a lot of facts, and the outcome seems to make the most sense. And why does he say that? Well, number one, Rebug was released on March 31st of 2011. First guides on how to use the dev network to get back on the COD games came out on 4/3/11. Word of Shady cites finding a way to pirate PSN content via the dev network on 4/7. Number four, PSN goes down on 4/20. Now you can believe Sony's PR team, which has kept you in the dark, or you can see the list of events above and come to your own conclusion. Now, this isn't the first time Sony has fought back against the PS3 modders from getting on PSN. A couple of months ago, we had a utility called Screw PSN. There we go. That changed the necessary header information that was being sent to Sony to allow modified consoles back online. We were able to use it for about a month. Then came the new TOS, the mass email to PS3 customers, and a software update, 3.56 and 3.60. So once again, yes, this is speculation. And I'm going to lose my voice today, I swear. But again, this is speculation, but it's speculation based on previous actions and known facts. He goes on to edit a second time, and he says, Mathula just mentioned that he's been been in contact with someone that has official access to the SCE DevNet servers, and it was posted to them today that 3.60 plus debug firmwares will be allowed on the dev network. Oh, sorry, only 3.60 plus debug firmwares will be allowed on the dev network anymore. All earlier versions will be cut. If you want to retain your access, you need to contact Sony and upgrade to a 3.60 debug firmware.
So some of us, we have a patch or something coming is what it basically boils down to. And before we can get back online, let's see how this works out. This is not looking good to me. This looks like this is going to be huge trouble, even for those of us who did nothing. Well, Ginger, do you mind if I do too? Because I got good news and then I got juicy news I must share.
Oh, girl, you better give us some good news and some juicy news.
Yes. Okay. There's tons of juicy news today, by the way. Those of you, please get your bibs ready. Salivation is sure to follow. Well, the good news is, and this actually was posted yesterday, our friends over at Able Gamers Foundation, or ablegamers.org or ablegamers.com, whichever one you want to visit, have had them on the show a couple of times before. They're due to come back and visit. Always fun when they visit. But Harmonix, even though they're experiencing some financial woes, did a wonderful thing for Able Gamers Foundation. They donated $10,000 to the disabled gaming charity, the Able Gamers Foundation. Alex Rigopoulos, whose name we always mess up, sorry, Alex, said he believes that finding ways to better accommodate people with disabilities is vitally important to responsibility for the gaming industry. He says Harmonix is working with Able Gamers Foundation to learn what they can do with future products to be as inclusive as possible. He says he hopes that his support of the Able Gamers Foundation will inspire others within the industry to do the same. If you're not familiar with Able Gamers Foundation, since 2004, they've pushed for greater accessibility for people with disabilities in the digital entertainment space. With 3.5 million hits per month on ablegamers.com, they are the largest online disabled gaming community with press coverage from the likes of CNN, MSNBC, and NPR. Able Gamer also uses these types of donations to fund public events displaying the cutting-edge accessible technology. Mark Bartlett, who we just absolutely adore. I love you, Mark. He says the gamer with disabilities is a larger market than most game makers even realize, with about 33 million in the U.S. alone. He says he urges game developers who want to learn more about how to improve accessibility of their games and support the huge gaming population to start at their site, gameaccessibility.org. And, of course, Able Gamers has a small dedicated staff of volunteers who don't earn a single penny from what they do.
That is awesome. Way to go, guys.
Yes, she said no one gets paid, and we do it because we're passionate about improving the quality of life for gamers with disabilities. Every cent from a donation goes directly to supporting their mission. It says, and they're only able to attend a quarter of all events sent to them because they simply don't have the funds. So, Mr. Rolopoulos, you did a wonderful thing. Hopefully we'll see our guys out at some of the functions. Oh, actually, we need some funding. We need somebody to get us there, too, sometimes. Anyway, if you'd like to support the Able Gamers Foundation or learn about the mission, you can, again, visit over at ablegamers.org and give them some money or something. Games, they're just a great bunch of guys. Always have fun when they come on. I may have them pop on the news one morning. Of course, there will be no news read because they're crazy, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun, nonetheless. Okay, now moving along to my juicy news. One of my juicy news.
Tell us.
Remember yesterday we were telling you, or it may have been last week, how Nintendo was planning on introducing something akin to a tablet that would work with the Wii, the new Wii, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently PlayStation decided, Nintendo, you're not going to one-up us. Guess what? We have one, too. So they have unveiled two PlayStation compatible tablets. Both systems run on Android 3.0, will be Wi-Fi and 3G and 4G compatible. This is optimized for rich media and boasts a 9.4-inch display, while the S2 features, which is the other tablet, two 5.5-inch displays for portability. Yes, it looks like it folds over like a DS, amazingly enough. They said, like the Xperia Play, both will run the PlayStation Suite and first-generation PlayStation video games, as well as music and video service, which is Curiosity. I may be saying that wrong. Curiosity. And they have ebook content from Sony's e-reader store. They're saying Android 3.0 is a new version of the Android platform with a new holographic user interface that is designed from the ground up for devices with larger TV screens, particularly tablets. Nice, right? And, of course, as always, they're saying they're excited as it will spur further development of applications and network offerings which users are looking for. The S1 and S2 now join the Xperia Play and the next generation portable as Sony's latest portable mobile hardware. Saying Sony tablet delivers an entertainment experience where users can enjoy cloud-based services on the go anytime. Will it be free is my question. Now, the big problem with this and a lot of the comments, because I'm pulling this from gamesindustry.biz, is that there are people are already complaining. It says it's not including the PlayStation controls. And everybody's wondering if games they've already paid for will be ported over to the tablets. And, of course, some people are commenting that if they had created a way of accessing previously bought titles on the PSP, you know, on multiple platforms, the PSP Go wouldn't have been so bad off either because you couldn't access previous thing. We'll see. We'll see how this does. I'm interested.
That is very interesting. You had me at holographic, though.
Yeah, holographic. I'm not sure about the on-the-go thing. And, of course, some people are saying this is yet more fragmentation for Android developers because now, yes, they can develop it for Android, but if you really want it to work, it's going to have to work with Android and then the PlayStation Network and the PlayStation so that they can take it on the go. Oh, this is going to be interesting to see how they do this. So.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are saying this is not a good idea. I think they did it and I don't think they necessarily knew that Nintendo was going to do it, but I think as soon as they heard it, they jumped the gun. You probably should have held on to this a little longer to, you know, figure out how you were going to make it work with PlayStation 4. I'm going to go ahead and say there's one coming. If Nintendo's releasing one, the rest of them are going to say they're having one coming, too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's the way it goes.
Yeah, and you know, Microsoft has long been rumoring that they're going to be putting out a handheld, and I keep hearing that rumor getting stronger and stronger, so we'll see. Interesting. Uh-huh. All right, Ginger, what you got? What you got in your pocket?
I have got an I do in my pocket. Oh, yes. Say I do with the Royal Wedding Limited Edition version of Say What You See the Collection. Okay, that whole sentence confuses me. The bunting has been strung, the champagne's on ice, and the world waits impatiently for the big day. But why wait till Friday to celebrate a royal wedding when you can get in on the action today? For 1 week only, Say What You See the Collection will feature an updated royal wedding version of the popular rom-com Canvas, which features a beautiful wedding scene painted by artist Amy Bolesian. For the next week, the repainted canvas will feature a very regal-looking couple that will only be available for one time only. The wedding scene features 50 hidden romantic comedy titles for puzzle fans to find, a delightful way to digitally show your support for the upcoming union on your Apple device. To get the limited edition royal wedding version of Say What You See the Collection, download the app now and select rom-coms as your free starting canvas. Existing users who already own the rom-coms canvas can simply delete it and re-download it to get the new imagery. John Hamblin, digital product manager, Big Ideas Digital, comments, "We've been working on a massive update for the app, so this royal wedding-flavored canvas is a surprise treat for those anxiously awaiting the new update. We will be announcing the update launch soon, but hopefully the new puzzles in the Royal Wedding Edition will tide fans over until then." Say What You See, the collection is available now from the App Store on the iPhone and iPad. They are not giving me a price, and I'm still not quite for sure what this game's about, but if you're into it, go check it out.
I was reading that, too, trying to figure out what the hell is it about.
I don't know. They don't really say.
Interesting.
You tell us what your games are about, dude. Just say.
We're supposed to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, again, so much juicy news today, I don't even know where to begin. Oh, my God. So, I guess I'll talk about the fact that EA lost somebody to Zynga.
I heard about that. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. I love when they jump ship. I love it. EA's chief operating officer. Well, I don't necessarily want them to go down. I just want them to straighten up, you know? Come on, EA.
Jumping ship.
Yes. But chief operating officer John Schnapper quit the company yesterday. A filing at the Securities and Exchange Commission was revealed, and according to sources close to Reuters, the game exec is to take a post at social games firm Zynga. Schnapper returned to EA in 2009 after some years at Microsoft, filling the COO role left by the departure of John Pleasance, who left the company to take a role at another social firm, Playdom. Remember those guys? At the same time, he said that he had EA in his blood, having originally worked at EA as a software engineer way back in 91 and on multiple EA sports titles. His new role at Zynga has not yet been confirmed, and GI Biz is saying they've been unable to receive comment. You know they're not going to respond to us, of course, if we go over and ask. So this is juicy.
It's juicy. That is
right.
So juicy.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Keep it interesting, John. Keep it interesting.
All right, well, I guess it's my go now.
Yes, ma'am.
Brady Games announces first official Call of Duty Black Ops multiplayer strategy app, now available for the iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch on the App Store. Brady Games is pleased to announce, he read that, the first officially licensed Call of Duty Black Ops apps on the App Store is now available for the iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. A recently released update includes the First Strike map pack at no extra cost. The app, developed in conjunction with Treyarch and Activision, allows gamers to get the drop on their enemies through the use of detailed interactive layouts of all 14 original multiplayer maps and the 4 multiplayer maps from the First Strike pack, including overlays for every game mode. For the millions of Call of Duty Black Ops multiplayer fans worldwide, this app delivers unprecedented at-your-fingertips strategy. Oh my God, Texas weather's killing me. Okay. All right, so it's going to give you unprecedented at-your-fingertips strategy, whether they're running sabotage mode in Grid or Search and Destroy in Summit. The multiplayer maps, illustrated by Expert Gaming Guild Sea Snipers, feature customized icons and map keys so players know immediately where to find every bomb site, CTF flag, spawn point, and ladder.
That's cheating.
I know, right? It also includes pop-up points of interest that cover sniping points, hot areas, and typical player routes, as well as map-specific equipment and player loadout advice.
Cheat.
The Call of Duty Black Ops MP map app is now available for, this looks like $1.79, pounds, francs, London dollars, whatever that little funny Elden thingy is, from the iTunes App Store on the iPhone or iPad. So head over there and grab that now. They are not giving me any kind of American price, so us Americans may be just SOL because, you know, we're not all that special. They're still mad at us for, you know, taking our tea and dumping it in the water or something.
You did not go with the tea in the water.
So totally just did.
I'm done with you for the day. That's it. It's not even noon, and I'm done. I'm just done with you for the day.
So back to you, Corey. How's the weather?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm supposed to know what the weather's like today?
Yeah.
I have no clue. I got nothing. But I can tell you. I can give you some gaming news. I'm good with that. So, another good, juicy bit of news. Our former Vice President, Al Gore, is going to deliver an opening keynote at the 8th Annual Games for Change Conference. I would give you some applause, Al Gore, but I can't find the applause. Wait, here it is. Here we go.
Yeah. You're awesome. Al Gore.
I don't know what you said, but I know it was good.
You gotta watch Futurama. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, no, I can hear you is what I can, because you were cutting in and out. But
I was talking about the headless Al Gore from Futurama.
This is not the headless Al Gore. This is the real one. The former vice president and co-founder of the cable television network Current TV, which I do like, ironically, will speak about the potential of using accessible games to make a social impact. Vice President Gore is a significant global advocate who has effectively used popular media to bring issues of pressing concern to mainstream audiences. He said the Games for Change for that particular statement was from Asai Burak and Michelle Bird at Games for Change. They're the co-presidents. They said that in a statement they released yesterday. Other speakers at this year's festival include game designer Jess Schnell, Zynga.org's Laura Hartman. Yay, Laura! Go, girls! Okay, U.S. Department of Education James H. Sheldon III, and Haskai, the co-author, Cheryl Wooden. Yay, another girl! The organizers of the event also announced a new Games for Change Awards program for this year's show. The awards recognize games in categories including direct impact, night news game, learning and education, and transmedia. Nominees will be announced May 6th prior to an awards ceremony on the last day of the festival, which is June 22nd.
We do like us some festivals.
Yes, more festivals. Yay. This year's event will also host a demo spotlight presentation with 6 games chosen for display on the main stage. These games will receive feedback from a panel of expert designers and funders with the hope of getting some good advice and some financial support. Nice. The Games for Change event, of course, takes place June 20th to the 22nd at the Skier Ball Center in New York City, and that is from Serious Games. You can check that out at seriousgamesource.com.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to that because it's in New York, and shoes live in New York, but I am still a girl. Gamer, but a girl. I got to have on my good shoes while I game. Okay, so go check that out. Maybe you'll want to stop by the event if you live up that way. Let us know if Gord does us proud. Because, you know, he can be a little kooky at times, say some crazy stuff. Hopefully he doesn't say the wrong thing and then just...
I created the internet.
I created gaming. Oh, see, now you messed up.
No.
All right, what you got in your pocket? How's the weather on I-10, Ginger?
I've got a bunny zombie slayer.
And again, I'm done with you for the day.
Bunny the Zombie Slayer hops to the App Store. Oh, yeah. Bunny the Zombie Slayer, the first iOS title from Canadian developer Hothead Games, is now available on the App Store for the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. Yes, it's a bunny, and it kills zombies. In the game, players control a heroic but slightly unstable bunny that must protect children from relentless waves of zombie hordes. These once-deceased characters, nurses, businessmen, cheerleaders, chefs, and more, will stop at nothing to reach the innocent children and spoil their fun. In response, Bunny unleashes his projectile weapons of fury to dismember and decapitate the undead, aiming at their heads for a clean knockout. Oh my god, Hothead producer Joel DeYoung says, "At Hothead, we strive to produce the most innovative fun games possible with a unique twist, and I'm happy to say Bunny the Zombie..." oh my god, Bunny the Zombie Slayer follows that mold. Like most heroes, we felt that this bunny had attitude and a fearless streak, and we are happy to give gamers of all ages a fun way to interact with a very brave rabbit. my god, I want this just because it sounds cute.
Zombie the Zombie Slayer.
Bunny the Zombie Slayer is available to download now for 99 cents. That is American, because they do love us. Or 59 cents, L, whatever that is. So Franks, Lindens, Seashells, I don't know, Tops, something. From the App Store right now. Looks like they're... Oh, yes, I already did, I'm pretty sure. I put up a trailer and a couple of pictures, maybe, on our website, GameNatrix.com. So head over there and check those out. I want this. This sounds cute. I like killing zombies, though, so...
Ah, yes.
Dismember and decapitate the undead. Oh, yes.
Don't remind me, because I did have to get in some Left 4 Dead last week. I told you I used my chainsaw for the first time. It was delicious. Okay. Well, let me clear my throat for this, because in a galaxy far, far away, well, actually not far away, right here on this planet, LucasArts signed a multi-year studio-wide Unreal Engine 3 licensing agreement. Yeah. They're announcing a long-term agreement with Epic Games to develop multiple projects using Unreal Engine 3 on the supported platforms. I'm trying to see what Zach Phelps, who's a director of technology at LucasArts, is quoted as saying. Unreal Engine 3 is a forward-looking solution that develops, that shortens the path between inspiration and execution on a wide variety of gaming platforms. He says, "We're thrilled," which is another way to say excited, yet again, to add another exceptional tool to our technology mix. LucasArts is now primed to capitalize on Unreal Engine 3's ability to scale across platforms from mobile through PC and console all the way to the next generation of games. That's from Mark Rain, who's the vice president of Epic Games. He says, "We can't wait to see what happens when LucasArts combines their talented workforce and amazing intellectual properties with Unreal Engine 3. I'm going to say you guys going to have to show me. I'm not all that impressed. Sounds like interesting news, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I feel you on that one.
I'm still disappointed in The Force Unleashed 2, so. Yeah.
I never played.
You don't play. I'm sorry, LucasArts. You guys, I'm not in much into the Star Wars movies, but I was a diehard fan of the games until that Force Unleashed crap you gave me. What the hell happened over there? What went wrong? I do not want button combos when I'm fighting a boss. I want to take him down with my own fingers. Just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That sounded all kinds of wrong. You got ginger.
I got some more wrong is what I've got. I've got a lot more wrong. Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be wrong, it might as well be early in the day.
true story. South Korean online gaming teen curfew passes committee vote.
What?
Mm-hmm. It looks like teens in South Korea, I'm sorry, I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Looks like they pulled it from Worlds in Motion. They say it looks like teens in South Korea won't be able to play online games all night long anymore. I think we talked about this a while back, actually.
Yeah.
South Korea's Legislation and Judiciary Committee has unanimously passed a motion to move forward with a law that prevents children under 15 from playing online games between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. It's dubbed the Cinderella Law. The new edict now heads to a vote before South Korea's full National Assembly. All right, I want to stop right here and say, where the hell are the parents here? I mean, midnight and 6 a.m.? Why are your kids up playing anyways? I understand it's a different world pretty much over there, a whole other lifestyle. But seriously, midnight, 6 a.m.? What are your kids doing playing games that time of night?
I would love to say that it's a over there thing. It's an over thing here, too. Some of you are just not watching your
that
babies.
Is true. That is true. That is true. I've got a guildmate, and if you're listening, dude, turn us off. You're probably listening to me at 3 a.m. Go to bed. You have school in the morning.
Bad babies.
Critics of the law argue that banning late-night play affects only a small portion of players who will probably move their playtime or use a borrowed or pirated registration ID. Others note that the law doesn't go far enough because it doesn't take into account for offline PC games and console games. The main point of passing such a law is to address online game addiction in the country. Several high-profile cases of death and suicide have been associated with playing online games in internet cafes in the country. How effective adding a curfew into the mix is uncertain.
Yeah, it's not helping.
No, I'm thinking if you have people dying in your internet cafes, maybe you should hire new people to, you know, I don't know, kick these people offline every few hours. I mean, it is your service after all. Sure, they may be paying you, but you can say, oh, hey, by the way, we don't want to be sued. We don't want this here. So you spent 4 hours. Time for you to go spend an hour elsewhere. You can come back after an hour.
Well, I'm going to reserve comment. Moving right along. Apparently a ton of you in Europe are right at this moment yelling, finish him!
Finish him!
Well, Portal 2 and Mortal Kombat are at the top of the UK sales chart. Yes! Portal 2 has emerged as the best-selling video game in the UK last week, with fellow new release Mortal Kombat taking the number 2 spot. Now, despite the PlayStation 3 version of Portal 2 featuring exclusive cross-format support with the PC, that you can't access right now, it accounted for only 35% of sales, with the Xbox 360 on 54% and the PC on 10%. The latter does not account for digital sales. And why do I suddenly sound like GLaDOS when I started talking? Did you hear that? The addition of Sony exclusive character Kratos from God of War approved. Okay, so Sony's exclusive character inclusion of Kratos from God of War proved to have more of an impact on sales of Mortal Kombat, with the PlayStation 3 version selling 54% compared to the Xbox's 46%. As a result, the Xbox 360 version of Portal 2 was the best-selling individual format title of the week, followed by Mortal Kombat on PlayStation 3, Mortal Kombat on 360, and Portal 2 on PlayStation 3. The previous number one, of course, was Zumba Fitness over in the UK. It is now number 5. Other major releases of the week were Operation Flashpoint, Red River. I love Operation Flashpoint. I don't know why people are not playing that one as much. I love that game. Made its debut at number 6. Codemasters team-based shooter. That is their team-based shooter. Saw 70% of their sales come from Xbox 360 and 30% on PS3. The only major release not to break into the top 20 this week was Sony's SOCOM Special Forces, SOCOM 4. It came in at number 28. Ouch. Although a number of older titles did continue to move up the charts thanks to retailer promotions. And, of course, Call of Duty Black Ops rose 6 places to number 3, while Wii Fit Plus was up 11 places to number 9. Yeah, Wii Fit is still selling. Wii Sports Resort also re-entered the charts at number 14. And you can find an entire list of sales charts over actually at gamesindustry.biz. I would pull them and put them on our site, but the UK people are very, very particular about you borrowing their charts. I don't know why. And over here, I don't think we keep up with them as well as they do. I never find anybody that does that'll send us chart information. I always get the UK ones. Hello, American
hello.
People.
No, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here.
I'm saying, American people, come on, give me some charts.
Mm-hmm. Give us some charts. Don't break my chart. Don't you be breaking my chart.
Get on, Ginger.
All right. In case we haven't heard enough about Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, there is a game out there now. Mm-hmm. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. They pulled it from HappyMonsterGames.com. WikiLeaks parody Tricky Leaks released for the Android devices.
Oh, Jesus.
A new game from indie developer Happy Monster Games launches today for Android called Tricky Leaks. As the title suggests, Tricky Leaks puts Julian Assange and WikiLeaks in the roles of antagonists in an all-new puzzle game where you play one of 8 evil megacorporations with plenty of secrets to hide from the world. The goal of the game is to try and this is worded weird. The goal of the game is to try and is to get all your secrets back through your pipes before all your dirty laundry is revealed to the world. All right. Throughout the course of the game, you get to play as parodies of real companies like the creator of Minecraft, Bank of America, and NASA. You'll even get to see the real fake secrets leaked from these companies if you fail. The game also features Julian Assange on a bulldozer, which they say is weird, because, you know, the rest of this whole game doesn't sound weird. The game should be available on the Android App Store now, so if you want more information, you can just head over there and check it out. HappyMonsterGames.com. I'm thinking that, yeah. No, is it that time? I don't think I really want to play this game. Sorry, this is kind of amusing.
I'm moving along. I'm moving along.
And why do they have to take a crack at Minecraft? Come on, what did Minecraft ever do to you people?
Nothing. So I told you, some people have some seriously misplaced aggression.
I'm okay with Bank of America and NASA and any government crap. And, oh, go after Walmart, please. I'll cheer you on.
Hey. Let's not get crazy here.
All right, fine. That's, go after EA, I'll cheer you on.
Yes, that's where we get our lotions and creams and stuff that keep us all nice and soft and pretty. No, let's not go after the Walmart. No.
But you're going after Minecraft. What? Are you jealous that an indie developer kicked your butt with their own indie game?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'm thinking it is. Jealousy. Jealous. Green is so not your color.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me see. I have tons of good news. I'm trying to decide what to tell you first. I never know where to go when it's this juicy. It's just... Okay, well, I won't tell you about this update because it doesn't want to load. Ah, and it finally did as soon as I said that. Those of you who like, well, you know what? I'm not going to tell you about that. I don't want to because I got other juicy stuff to tell you about. Okay, moving along. You guys ready? Well, Ginger, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm back over here. I was flipping through games for stuff. Yep, I'm ready.
This is just minorly juicy. Okay, do you guys remember Lord of the Rings when MMO when it was first released and who owned it?
Mm-hmm.
Turbine. Well, Codemasters in Europe said, take your game, Turbine. We don't want it anymore. Mm-hmm. Developer Turbine is to assume or reassume full control of the MMO they created, Lord of the Rings Online. Only in Europe, though. The handover, yes, the handover is supposed to take place June the 1st, following the acquisition last year of the U.S. developer by rival publishing firm, Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. Katie Pies, and I'm sorry if I'm screwing up your name, who's the executive producer online. Yeah, I think I met her at PAX. I need to actually harass her. Okay, well, anyway, she says we're working very closely with our partner Codemasters Online to facilitate a smooth transition to our new global service. We'll be providing free account transfers to our new global service, and players will be notified when the transfer utility is available. We would like to thank Codemasters for the outstanding job they've done publishing and operating Lord of the Rings Online, and we look forward to continuing to deliver one of the world's best online entertainment experiences to the gamers of Europe. Do you guys see how different that is when a woman releases a statement? Mm-hmm. Y'all say we're catty, but every time the woman releases a statement, it's all calm. Thank you for helping us. And we're just going to go ahead and take our little game and go. That'd have been a guy. It'd have been ugly. Mm-hmm. But I am excited. I'm hoping that they do the same here. Turbine had done an excellent job. I don't know what went on behind the scenes because we weren't that into the news at the time all this went down, but... I'm excited. I hope it happens here as well. I want them to take their game back and do all kinds of cool things with it.
Yes. Cool things.
And does anybody out there, while I'm on the subject of old MMOs, anybody out there know how I can get back into the construct on Matrix Online? You all keep sending me messages saying that it's still up somewhere and I can play, but you won't tell me where. I need links, people. Links.
Yes, please send her links. You have no idea how often I hear this.
I need my links. I want to play. Neo needs me.
Link, she has abandoned you for Neo.
Oh, no. Mm-mm, never.
Mm-mm, no?
Never.
Are you sure?
Link is my honey. him in sights. He's going to go with me into the Matrix. He's going to watch my back, him and his little sword.
Oh, yeah, is he? See, and this is why I love Corey people. Y'all have no idea. She's just a kook.
And then some.
Mm-hmm. True story.
We got 5 minutes, Ginger, before we go into our non-streaming portion. What do you got for the people?
I've got trans gaming. Mm-hmm. Trans gaming and free bring-on-demand video gaming coming to France. Trans Gaming Incorporation, the global leader of multi-platform gaming, today announced the commercial launch of Game Tree TV. Trans Gaming's innovative on-demand smart TV gaming platform with a pioneering top-tier broadband service operator, Free. With Game Tree TV and the Free Box Revolution, a next-generation set-top box launched December 14th. Which transforms the television experience into a fully connected smart TV experience. Customers can now instantly play on-demand games directly from the cloud. The launch games puts Game Tree TV at the forefront of the connected living room era, giving French consumers easy access to exciting family-friendly interactive entertainment. Trans Gaming Game Tree TV platform is fully optimized for the Freebox's Intel CE system on-chip processor, one of the most popular choices for smart TV hardware. Lance Coenders, Director of Worldwide Marketing, Intel Digital Home Group, says we see a bright future for on-demand gaming on smart TV. Trans Gaming has put itself ahead of the curve with the Game Tree TV platform, which is a great example of the enhanced entertainment experiences that Intel CE-based devices can deliver. Maxime Lombardini, CEO of Free's holding company, Iliad, says the Game Tree TV platform adds a compelling new dimension to our entertainment portfolio, further differentiating our unique offering. Our subscribers now have access to a whole new gaming experience that, thanks to our partnership with Trans Gaming. This is a truly exciting time for home entertainment. All right. Okay, I don't care what y'all have to say. Game Tree TV launches with 25 titles on the... yeah, I still don't care what they're saying. Game Tree TV launches with 25 titles on the Freebox Revolution, such as Bejeweled 2, Garage Incorporated, and World of Goo, with new games added weekly. Consumers will be able to enjoy games through a variety of flexible pricing models and build directly by Free in the monthly invoice. This simple business model means broadband service providers are available to provide consumers with interactive entertainment on demand while achieving a sustainable value-added revenue opportunity. Transgaming will host a conference call. Yeah, y'all are not getting that number. Sorry, folks. Yeah, all right, so that's about it. They're not telling me where to go get it or anything else. So it is Game Tree TV. So head over there. It looks like they do have a website, transgaming.com. GameTreeTV.com. Head over there and check that out.
You're going to want to see this.
I think it's the same company that makes a TV inside Second Life.
Ooh, really? Oh, I didn't talk to you about
peels. Grabbing
peels. We'll have to wait till after we're done grabbing pills.
Caffeinated pills.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I stand corrected on this cold coffee thing. I'm drinking some, but it's one I made. Maybe that's why it tastes good, because I don't know what they do to it. Starbucks, when it's cold, it's nasty. Anyway, so after our break, again, if you're not listening live, or you'll be hearing us in just a few minutes, those of you who are listening live, we'll have to download to hear the rest. But after the break, I have more juicy news for you about the Wii 2.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Zoe. Ow. Hello. Bill. Ow. Hello. Francis. Hello. Louis. Yeah. Woo. Hear that?
Grab and peel, baby.
Grab and peel.
I have to grab me some this morning.
Grab and peel.
Thanks for a stupid ass person.
Come on, Lewis, we can't leave Bill behind.
Tell me you ain't serious.
We're just leaving Bill out there?
Hell yeah!
Cool!
That's my response.
Hey, that is uncalled for. There's a pipe bomb over here!
Everybody stop! Back it up! What? What's going on out there?
I love when we end the show with a bang. Well, it's not ending, but, you know, going into break. Well, now it is time for me to... Yes, it is time for me to tell you the news about the Wii 2, and I'm sorry to tease you. Well, not really, but in about 10 seconds, we're going to drop off into our non-streaming portion. You'll have to download to hear the rest. But It seems the rumors... of course, you've heard the rumors about the Wii 2, or whatever it's going to be called. It's going to be released in 2012. Well, the Japanese company made an announcement, and this is from GamesBeat. Go check them out, too. Or actually, it's VentureBeat. They're saying that the company is saying that it plans to release, of course, the new Wii. If you're curious about some sales, I'll tell you about that in a minute. But they're saying there will be a playable version of their new console at this year's E3. What did I tell y'all? Am I good or what? Am I good? Ginger, am I good? Say it.
I'm muted. I'm like, you're so good. You're so awesome. And I'm muted.
Yes. Oh.
Stupid mute button gets me every time.
Okay. I would also like to let Oprah Winfrey know somebody has hacked your email service and is sending out emails to me as you. I don't know why.
Is she offering you money?
No, she wants to. Well, she wants to help me lose weight by free trial. I don't know what but
yeah, we don't care about that. We just want your money or your free cars, dude.
I want our games. So anyway, Nintendo has said that the 3DS launch, of course, was very smooth, with two of the titles on the handheld selling around 2 million units. They're saying they've sold 9.43 million units, 9.43. So, but they aren't as great as they would have hoped. Their fiscal year, of course, ended March 31st, and they're saying that the sales in the U.S., Europe, and Japan all fell. The company sold 17.52 million DS handhelds during the year and 15.08 million Wii consoles. DS titles sold 120.98 million units, and Wii titles sold 171.26 units. In the coming year, Nintendo has high hopes for key games such as Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, which I'm telling you again, will not be released on the Wii. And I don't need to confirm this with them. I'm telling you exactly. If you pay attention to Nintendo, this is their... how they do things, it'll be released on this new console, and it will be mind-blowing. Yes, going to E3, and we're not sure if we are yet or not.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
Yeah, you say that till we get there. Everybody always says that till they get there. E3 is hard on a person, I'm telling you. It's not all the fun. That's what I think it's more fun for me to watch it at home than to be there. Because you guys out there are crazy at E3. Every girl's a booth babe. I don't care if she has on a bikini or not. I got tired of being asked to stop and take pictures. My cheeks hurt. I had blisters on my feet. Towards the end of the first night, I was like, I don't want to talk to you. Just take the damn picture.
I am not a booth babe.
I don't even remotely resemble a booth babe.
Why? Oh, she is so lying. She's so hot, dude.
I did it PAX, and that was on purpose. But at E3, no. Working.
Corey is so hot all the time. So hot.
And working. I'm trying to work. I don't want to take pictures. Stop misquoting me. Okay, but anyway.
Come on, Corey.
Yes. See, Ginger's saying this because we haven't taken her to a conference yet. But when she goes,
I'm so left out.
Well, you're left out. And then when we come back that first time, she's going to be like, can we send somebody else? Ben likes to go. Let him go.
I'll be like, can we go again?
No, you won't. No,
what?
You won't.
Is weekend over? Really? No.
You notice Snow is not wanting to go anymore, right? She said that too before we went. And we went to a small one for her. But anyway, one of the few times EA invited us somewhere. Yeah.
These are my people. These are my peeps. Oh, wait, EA invited y'all somewhere?
Yeah, we got invited to a private something for... oh, God, what's that racing game they have? I'm sorry, EA. I don't remember what it was. Some racing game we went out. You could go listen to our back shows if you want to know what game it was. And we were down there live, walking around down the street, telling people to say, "I love Gamer Girls Radio." It was hilarious, but tiresome. Yeah. Okay, so anyway.
All right. Anyways, it looks like some of you guys and girls out there are still crazy. Yes, yes, yes. This whole Guinness World Record stuff for gaming, out of control. Out of control. Xbox Live and Kinect Sports celebrate setting a Guinness World Record for the largest online 100-meter sprint with thanks to you. Xbox Nation sees live members throughout the world create a new Guinness World Record. Xbox Live members across the globe have created history setting a new Guinness World Record for the largest simultaneous online 100-meter sprint with 10,539 participants achieved by users of Xbox Live during the Xbox Nation's free live weekend on the 23rd of April. Thousands participated in the world record attempt at 6 p.m. BST on Saturday, the 23rd of April, as part of Xbox Nation's a challenge inviting Xbox Live members to play their nation to help create history with Xbox Live and Kinect Sports. Stephen McGill, director of Xbox and Entertainment of Microsoft's Retail Sales and Marketing Division UK and IR, says, "We were thrilled to hold a Guinness World Record title for the largest online 100-meter sprint. Breaking a Guinness World Record is such a massive milestone, and we're pleased that we had the chance to do this in partnership with the Xbox Live community following our record-breaking launch of Kinect, which was named the fastest-selling consumer electronics device by Guinness as well." In preparation for the Guinness World Record attempt, Xbox 360 assembled some of England's sporting greats and 2012 hopefuls to face off in a friendly competition for the gold medals at the Kinect Sports Superstars event. England cricketer Graeme Swann, Winter Olympics gold medalist Amy Williams, Olympic medalist in gymnastics Lewis Smith, and the Lewis Hamilton of table tennis Darius Knight all ran the 100-meter sprint, setting the benchmarks for UK Live members to match. Darius Knight secured his gold medal by running the 100 meters faster than Usain Bolt with a virtual time of 9.20 seconds, with the fellow teammates coming in at 9.33 seconds by Amy Williams, 10.45 seconds by Lewis Smith, and 10.60 seconds by Graeme Swann. Xbox Nations and the Guinness World Record helped celebrate the free live weekend where millions of Xbox Live members experienced access to the latest music, movies, and multiplayer gaming on Xbox Live for free to show people how the online entertainment destination is changing the way people enjoy their favorite entertainment, play games, and interact with friends. Wow, people, y'all are nuts. Just nuts.
Well, more news, speaking of EA.
Yes, well, apparently we have a...
Mm-hmm. Well, we... EA...
Yeah.
They haven't done anything bad. But there has been a memo leaked from EA that is detailing EA Sports' subscription service. Remember, we were telling you about that a few weeks ago. The details come from surveys forwarded to a website called PastaPadre.com. And it may not represent EA's
Pasta
final...
Padre?
PastaPadre.
PastaPadre.
PastaPapa. Plus the betting. Okay. It may not represent EA's final plans, but they do suggest that the retail price for the service will be ranging from $14.99 to $34.99, depending on the volume and timeliness of the content. The general plans for the service appear to be an extension of the company's current usage of downloadable content and cover titles including Madden NFL, FIFA, NHL, Tiger Woods PGA Tour. I know somebody that's listening that just jumped up and down and started yelling, no, no, no. Sit down, girl. SSX and NCAA football. Depending on the subscription, users will receive discounts on downloadable content, full downloadable versions of the games before their official release, and an in-game recognition badge, free and exclusive downloadable content for consoles, and a free and exclusive PC and web content such as the FIFA 12 Creative Center. Users will also be given the opportunity to transfer paid content from one version of a game to another, removing the need to constantly buy the same content for each yearly iteration of the game. The example given is, of course, for Tiger Woods PGA Tour 12, which has drawn a high level of criticism for its expensive downloadable content and being transferred to next year's Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13. The leaked information indicates that subscriptions can be purchased from retailers through the EA website or via Xbox Live and PlayStation Network, if it was up, that is. The cheapest subscription is listed again at $14.99 and includes a 30% discount on content and allows titles to be downloaded 3 days before launch. Thank you. However, membership recognition and using content in future versions is not included with the $14.99 version. The other subscription options vary the size of the discount, the lead time of early access, and amount of features, with only $34.99 sub-including every option. EA Sports President Peter Moore recently discussed persistent game profiles across Electronic Arts titles, although he's not yet indicated which will be the first to include the feature. He says, regardless of where you are, what platform you are, what game you're playing, you're constantly connected. And this is true because I now have all of my stuff connected, much to my chagrin. I didn't want that, but hey. He says, this is how we envision the future of our industry, and this is how we at EA Sports individualize and personalize. This is the future of our brand and ultimately the future of what Electronic Arts as a whole is going to do across titles. Well, Peter, yeah. I'm not happy with the way they do business in their sports side. They renegotiated their NFL license back in January, in case you didn't know. And I think they should let that go. Let some other people jump into the arena. Why can't anybody sue them for having a monopoly? That's a monopoly.
Yeah, you'd think they would.
Because nobody else can make a game using the actual players except for EA and not be sued. So that's a monopoly. Somebody jump on that.
Jump on it.
Do something about that. Because I miss my ESPN football. That was like the best football. I'm sorry. You Madden people out there. ESPN football way back in 2003-04, whenever it came out, was the best football or sport game I have ever played. And I am not a big sports game aficionado, but I played the hell out of me some ESPN. I'm telling you, I played every day. I beat the hell out of some guy. That was fun on Xbox Live. And when I didn't let him hear me talk, but when he realized I was a girl, he was like, wow. You beat me. I think I beat him like 40-3 or something like that.
Holy cow, girl.
Word. But I'm not that into Madden.
That's the deal, though. Go big, go home.
That's right. And of course, I love my Blitz the League, which has no known players in it. When am I getting a new Blitz the League, people? I forgot who made it. You know who you are.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. Make me a new Blitz the League.
I don't know who you are, but you know who you are.
I know who they are. I just can't remember who made it. Hey, it's a lot of information in my head. Okay. We got 2 minutes. Do you have a 2-minute story, or should we just say goodbye to the people, Ginger?
I do have a short little one real quick.
Yay! Go, Ginger, go.
Yay! Free CryEngine 3 SDK coming in August.
All right.
Crytek will soon release the latest version of its game engine technology to the public, joining free offerings from the Unreal Development Kit and Unity. The Crysis series creators say that the new SDK will be available in August and will be free to use for enthusiast developers. Company CEO Sevit Yearly, I'm sorry if I killed your name, hopes that the new SDK will reignite the modding community. In an open letter to fans, he admitted that Crytek has had few resources to support this area of its business in the past. He says, in recent times, our focus has been heavily on the development of Crysis 2. However, our modding community has been and remains very important to us. In August 2011, we will be launching a free CryEngine SDK. If you want to use it for fun, like all our previous mod SDKs, it will be completely free of charge to anyone who wants to play with it. He did add that his company will be giving users the latest, greatest version of CryEngine 3, the same engine they used internally to develop its games. He added that SDK will feature everything from the full engine, including C++ code access, content exporters, including Live Create Real-Time Pipeline, shader code, game sampling code for Crysis 2, script samples, new and improved flow graph, and asset examples. Crytek plans to update the free CryEngine SDK regularly. The company announced plans to release a free SDK in April of 2010. Crytek also said that it plans to launch an editor for Crysis 2 for PC customers. This software will allow users to build custom content such as maps and items.
No.
no. Oh, yes, they did. Or they are, I guess I should say. Way to go, Crytek. Yay!
But you never paid me, never. Oh, no, you didn't.
Speaking of.
Payback as a cop.
Oh, no, you didn't, people.
You will be running forever.
You out there, the cowboy hat?
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't.
I get my vengeance. I will never end this mayhem.
Mm-hmm. Vengeance.
Oh, no, you
going to get it.
I'm a mercenary. You ain't got a prayer. You owe me.
Oh, mm-hmm.
No, you
didn't. Take my hat.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no.
There.
Happy
everybody. Come back tomorrow, we'll tell you more drama. Oh, and don't forget, Corey's birthday is this week. So everybody, remember to wish her a happy birthday.
How about I'm over here talking muted?
At last. Oh, no,
you guys wait for your old man to be there. Come here. Stay off. Leave.
Yes, yes, yes.
Miss Ash is about that, too.
You will do the dance of sorrow.
All right, you guys, write it early tomorrow for the one night. Before we have to do it.